getting right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. Thank you for the opportunities that you afforded us to understand the apostolic and even be a part of the apostolic. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us into the supernatural. We need your help, Holy Spirit, to help us understand God's agenda, understand what he's trying to get us to see. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we can get a clearer picture of who we are in you. Jesus, thank you for putting us in this position. You say you're the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by you. Thank you for laying the pathway, for putting the foundation, for laying a foundation that no other man can lay so that we can build on. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to go into chapter 12 and talk about the alliance of honorable men in the nation. Now, that title, honorable men in the nation, simply is making reference to, and I'm gonna make it more local and geographical, the honorable men in the house. And when I say men, I'm also talking about women, all right? So if you hear me say men, I'm also talking to the women. I ain't trying to go back and forth. Just understand that I ain't looking over women. It's just that I'm just saying men, all right? Sometimes I interchange it with women, so don't be offended, all right? Before I go into this, there's something that I want you to see that I don't know if Apostle will get a chance to go over. In apostolic, I know you don't have your book tonight, but in apostolic strategies. But I'll tell you what page is on so you get a chance to read it for yourself. And the reason why I want to go over this is because I want to make sure that we understand the apostolic and understand what the purpose of the apostolic is for. Now, here's what you must understand about an apostle. An apostle is, I think, the least understood office of the fivefold ministry gift, because during our generation, it's the least talked about. And it's the least talked about, listen to that, internet, it's the least talked about because it has been the least understood. You can't understand what an apostle is or the function of an apostle until you understand covenant. And I'm not talking about understanding covenant with God. I'm talking about covenant that God provides that we have with each other. As I stated earlier, apostle structures doctrine. All right? That means apostle has, now, that's a mouthful, because an apostle has the ability to structure behavior in the body of Christ. Now, that don't come lightly. So this is why you're not going to find a young whippersnapper being an apostle. You're not going to find somebody who doesn't have any fruit in their ministry being an apostle. This is why you're not going to, all right, well, listen to this now. If an apostle is to structure doctrine, and I'm going to give you another definition of what an apostle does too. If an apostle structures doctrine, don't you think it's only right that the apostle first be living that doctrine and receiving fruit from that doctrine? Because you can't structure nothing from which you don't know anything about. So that leads to experience. An apostle has experience. Been around a while. Been spending time with God a while. Paul told him in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, he said, if I'm not an apostle to anybody else, you know I'm an apostle to you for the mere works that are happening in your life. Paul had spent time with God, so that's why he was able to structure doctrine. One of the most vivid examples of Paul structuring doctrine is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 8 through 10. Paul literally tells us how we get born again. That wasn't Jesus said that. That was Paul. A man called by God to structure doctrine. Are you seeing this? So an apostle structures doctrine. Now, having said that, because you need to understand the apostolic and you need how to relate to the apostolic, not just to the apostle, but the apostolic, because in reality, whenever someone the other four of the fivefold ministry gifts have to be connected to an apostle. If they're not connected to an apostle, then their office or their gift won't reach its full potential. So a prophet has to be connected to an apostle. If a prophet not connected to an apostle, the prophet may be able to see in the future, but his view will be skewed and it won't be entirely accurate, because you must have a foundation that you're standing on from which you look. Is that making sense? So all the other, a pastor has to be connected to an apostle, because if a pastor is not connected to an apostle, then what doctrine is being structured? What are you teaching? What are you preaching? Same thing for a teacher. A teacher does not develop doctrine. A teacher expounds on doctrine that's already been structured. Are you seeing this? An evangelist is only exposing people to the apostolic that have never been exposed before. Are you seeing? You seeing how they work together? That's why the culture of honor is so important, because one needs the other. Jesus walked in all five, but by him being the chief cornerstone, or the, we like to call it the chief apostle, he laid a foundation. But Jesus said, watch this, Jesus said, I have to go. So that means he had to appoint other people to do what he couldn't do. So he himself needed help. So it's not about ego and pride, it's about collaboration, it's about cooperation, it's about synergy, it's about working together, it's about covenant. Are you seeing this? Now, an apostle, here's what you understand about an apostle. This is what an apostle does. An apostle is not concerned with your situation. An apostle is not concerned about your feelings. The only thing that an apostle is concerned about is heaven to earth government structure, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be opened. So and watch this. Anybody operating in the apostolic operates under that same function. So what I'm saying, do not look for your pastor to be, watch this, overly concerned about your situation or your feelings. Because here's one thing I've learned. I don't want your sympathy, and I don't want your empathy. Let me look at your life first before I try to accept your empathy. What's the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy is when somebody's just feeling sorry for you and trying to identify with you. Empathy is when a person has gone through a situation, same situation you've gone through, and then they say, oh, I know what you're going through. Look, I don't want your empathy if I'm looking at your life and you didn't come through that situation right. So I'm not really looking for sympathy and empathy. And that's what we come to the church looking for. And that's why we expect our pastors and our leaders to give us empathy and give us sympathy. When in actuality, if they're truly operating under the apostolic, they're really not concerned about your situation. Because the only thing that they're concerned about is opening the portals of the supernatural. Because if I can open the portals of the supernatural, your situations and your feelings will be taken care of. Is that making sense? So what happens is, that's why we can't get upset when leadership is changed and shifts are being made. Because even if you get shifted out of a position and somebody else shifted into a position, that has nothing, don't take it personal. It's not personal. This is about opening, doing what God wants to do to open up the portal to the supernatural. Are you seeing this? And so I want you to understand, because a lot of people claim they understand the apostolic, but as soon as shifts begin to be made, they get upset and want to leave. They get mad and say, well, this was my position. Literally, ain't none of us got no position. God can shift and move us as he see fit. Are you seeing this? So that's why a covenant has to be in place. Trust has to be in place. That's why you can't just be under anybody. You can't be under somebody that will abuse you. Use your talents and gifts, and then when they're done with you, push it to the side. That's not what covenant does. And the apostolic does not operate that way. Are you seeing this? Miriam had to make a shift. Do you know Miriam was the very one that prayed for Moses? Got Moses out of the Nile. Set it up to where Moses can be nursed by his own mother. Prayed for Moses. But when God talked to Moses, and then Moses came back in the office he was in, which is the, it wasn't, you didn't have apostles in the Old Testament because that word didn't exist, but the apostolic still existed. When he walked into that leadership to be that one voice for God to the people of God, Miriam got upset. A shift had been made. So she no longer in the position of being over Moses and her prayers causing Moses to do this. No, God, Moses had made contact with God for himself face to face. And so now things have shifted. Are you seeing this? So she had no right to get upset because God makes changes like he sees fit. Are you seeing this? And so we have to understand the apostolic and all those that are connected and operating in the apostolic. The apostle is not concerned about your feelings, not concerned about your situation. He or she is only concerned about heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. Heaven to earth government structure, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. Because the ultimate goal is we're trying to open portals of the supernatural. John 3:27 says, a man can receive nothing unless it comes from heaven. So that means we can't receive nothing unless the portals of the supernatural are open. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand the apostolic is not based on what we choose. It's not based on what leaders we like. It's based on what God wants. Are you seeing this? So I want to read these things to you about the difference between the pastoral concepts of today and the New Testament apostolic functions of the pastor. Because over time, they've gotten mixed up. All right, watch this. First one, today's pastor is centered on needs rather than God's call and purposes. So most churches tell you about how they can meet your need. Think about it. Most churches advertise about how they can meet your need. How are you in this situation? How, if you come listen and sit in that church for a little while, hear the word, your need will be taken care of. That is not how the New Testament church worked. New Testament church said, look, come get busy and God will take care of your needs. That's Matthew 6:33. So because we become a need-oriented church, so people come to church not looking for God, looking to get their needs met, and they only need God present there so he can meet the needs. So this is why we want to rush through praise and worship. This is why we want to rush through that, because we want to get to the man or woman of God that's going to give us principles so that we can hopefully go back home and work and change our situation when we really need to be coming to church trying to see God. Number two, today's pastor is more concerned with feeding people rather than training them. So you find some pastors that are so excited about what revelations God has given them that they forget to take time to make sure the people is actually walking in the revelation. So, give you an example. Dr. Thompson, make sure that we are being trained properly in sowing. Why? Because he goes over it and over it and over it, come at it from a different angle. God gives him another revelation, but he stays on it, goes over it and over it, because we have to be trained. Giving is not a natural habit for us, because our natural habit says survival of the fittest. So we have to be trained. So pastors have to be more concerned with training rather than feeding. Because if you overfeed anything, it's eventually going to get out of shape. Am I making sense? Training involves feeding and doing. All number three. This the one where we, this the one that we've been hooked on. Today's pastor performs services rather than demanding performance. Today's pastor is more concerned about providing services rather than demanding performance. What I mean, most people come to church by what can be offered them, not by what demands going to be placed in their life and how they're going to be held accountable. For instance, we're instituting it now, our prayer accountability. And for our life bearers and our master life bearers, put that in place so that everybody can be held accountable. Well, that takes a demand. That means somebody is asking you to do something that you wasn't doing before. That's going to cause you to be better off. Rather than not just burying your loved ones, not just visiting you at the hospital, not just counseling you when you need counseling, but flipping the script. Instead of you coming and getting counseling, let's search the word and find out what you need to change to do better so that you won't be in that situation. Causing demanding performance. Another example. Dr. Thompson demands performance from us when it comes to giving. Because the demand is not made, what can't happen? The receiving can't happen. So we're not always going to be given something. A demand is going to be made so that we can have God as our source. Is this making sense? Do you see the difference? In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they were making demands. They wasn't catering to people. They were making demands on the people so that they can grow. Number four, today's pastor equips to meet need rather than equipping for ministry works. I'm going to say that again. Today's pastor is more concerned about equipping to meet needs rather than equipping for ministry works. So, pastor, I want to meet your need. I'm going to preach this word to you. Get your need and get this eradicated out of your life. Instead of putting you in a position for God to use you, when God uses you, God owes you. Hebrews 10. Turn there. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience, that what? After you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promises. So ain't no receiving going on till after. And then that word might there is for a reason. Might is based on what you desiring. Because if you ain't desiring nothing, then God gonna give you the desires of your heart. Nothing. But you receive the promises when? After. So now, what position do you want to be in? In a position to where you can do the will of God, or be in a false position of thinking God can meet your needs? Because if I do the will of God, then I know God can meet my needs. So I won't be hoping God meet my needs. See, when I'm put in a position to get involved with what God is doing, listen to that, internet, when I get involved with what God is doing, that means now God is obligated to get involved with what I'm doing. What number we on? All right, number five, because it got in his letters on mine. In the book, his letters. Watch this. Today's pastoral role has maintenance as its goal, whereas the apostolic anointing has maturity in its focus. Today's pastor is just concerned with maintaining. But an apostolic pastor is concerned about growth, maturing. For instance, Pastor Dr. Thompson just put a level of maturity on the church. He said, and this is what he said. He said, listen, if you're not planning on coming to Wednesday night Bible study, and if you ain't planning on coming to prayer, if you ain't planning on tithing, get off the auxiliary. Well, you're going to stop some people from serving. Well, you're not ready anyway, because you don't even believe in what you're serving. Looking for maturity, not just doing it to maintain. See, either you're growing or you're dying. If that's true physically, it's true spiritually. That's why you can't miss no time spending time with God. You can't miss no day spending with God, because either you're growing or you're dying. I want to continue growing. So if I want to continue growing, I don't need somebody leading me not going forward. I want them to go forward, stay ahead, so they can turn around and back for me and say, it's good up here. Come on. Number six. Today's pastoral role assures the believer of their positional worth in Christ. Whereas the apostolic anointing or apostolic pastor, led pastor, seeks to establish the experiential reality of Christ in the believers. So what it means, today's pastor just focuses on telling you, you in Christ. Don't forget, you in Christ. Don't forget, you in Christ. Okay, that's fine, I'm in Christ. What am I in Christ for? What good is in Christ doing me? When am I going to have an experience of being in Christ? I won't be one of the ones that Christ take up on that mountain and transfigure in front of them. I want that experience. Are you seeing this? See, you can be in a position, in a certain position, but if you don't understand what comes with that position, it makes no sense if you know the position or not. You can know you in Christ all day long, forever and ever. But if you don't ever experience the benefits of being in Christ, then you might as well have been out of Christ. So an apostolic pastor pushes you to have experiences with Christ. Your experiences with Christ should not just be limited to Sunday mornings and Wednesday night Bible study, or Tuesday night Bible study, or Monday night Bible study, or whenever you have Bible study. Thursday night Bible study, Friday night, whatever day it is. You shouldn't be just limited to experiencing Christ those times. You should be in a position to where you can experience Christ on a daily basis. The opportunity is always there. Not just keep reassuring me that I'm in Christ, or that I'm worthy because I'm in Christ, or Christ. I already know this. All right, if I'm saved by grace through faith, right? As the Bible says, I'm saved by faith, I'm saved by grace through faith. All right, now that I know that, what? Why? What's supposed to happen next? See, it's not good enough to know that I'm saved. Watch this. Even the word, David, the word grace is simply means to be empowered. Empowered. I'm empowered to live like Christ. I'm just not only empowered to be in Christ, I'm empowered to live like Christ. So I got to find out how that happens. So it's not enough for me to know that I'm in Christ. I need to know, okay, now that I'm in Christ, how this benefits, how do I have experiences with Christ so that I can help fulfill what he's called me to do? Is that making sense? Are y'all seeing the differences? See, the 21st century pastor was, we used this word before, self-centered or self-centric. Only looking to take care of the individual. When the apostolic pastors from the New Testament, the book of Acts, wasn't really concerned about individual issues. They were all trying to point them to the God the Father, Jesus the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so that they can join together to do things for God. And in the process of doing that, God now became obligated to do things for them. Are you seeing this? Number 7, today's pastoral role meets the external needs for bringing comfort and a sense of relief to believers, whereas the apostolic meets the internal need by bringing deep fulfillment and a great sense of identity. I'm going to say that again because that was long. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to read it a little slower because a lot to take in, because when I read these things and watch, you're going to meditate, you're going to look over these notes, and you're going to start seeing from your past experiences, even some of your pastors making shifts now. It may look like some of your pastors may be cold. May look like they don't care. Maybe look like they're not concerned with your issues. That's not what's going on. There's a shift in the apostolic. There's a shift in how we do church. Because, we've been doing church the way we think church ought to be done. And we think we've been caring for people. But come and find out, we've been giving people sympathy and empathy, and ain't nothing changing. Read it again. Today's pastor meets the external needs, bringing comfort and a sense of relief to the believer. Put a Band-Aid on it. That's what it is. Put a Band-Aid on it. You need stitches, and you really need this. You need surgery. You need surgery. But yet, the wound opened and they put a Band-Aid on it. And the wound closed back up. Ain't nothing changed on the inside. So if ain't nothing changed on the inside, you're going to have the same pain. Are you seeing this? But an apostolic pastor will open up the wound and get to the root of the issue, so that change can take place from the root. Because you can't change a tree from the outside. If you want to change what grows on a tree, you got to go down to the root and kill it. And then plant what you want. So we can't be putting Band-Aids and salve on situations. We have to get to the root of the matter. That's the difference between the pastor of today and a pastor from the New Testament. An apostolic pastor will get to the root of the matter. Jesus told that woman was trying to smooth Jesus over at that well. And Jesus said, oh, no, I know you. You done had 3, 4, 5 husbands, and the one you with now ain't your husband. When Jesus got to the root and took care of the root, he was then able to give her fulfillment and identity in him, and she went and won the whole city for him. Is this making sense? Finally, number 8. This is key. Today's pastor emphasized the importance of the behavioral system of the saints, whereas the apostolic pastor emphasizes the importance of the belief system of the saints. That's where you get where the laws come in. You have so many church rules, and you can't do this, and you got to do this way, and you got to have this. You got to wear this certain dress, and you got to do this. You got to wear your hair a certain way, and you got to wear this certain suit, and you got to do all this stuff. Concerned about the behavior on the outside. But if I can change what you believe, then I can change how you behave. People behave based on what they believe. Every last one of us have a belief system, and we act accordingly. Every last one of us. So if I'm acting in a way that's not conducive, slapping a law on me ain't gonna cause me to change. Because all I'm gonna do is go somewhere else and do the same thing. But if I can change the belief system, then everything else will fall in line. So here's the thing. If we can just get the body of Christ to believe in the apostolic and their belief system changed by apostolic and authority, the church will gain power like she's never gained before. So there won't be any church splits. See, church splits come from what they believe. See, it comes from a belief system. I'm not talking about just sin. You know, we know sin comes from a messed up belief system because we all was there. When you ain't know Jesus, your belief system was, I can live any kind of way. But when somebody told you was a filthy rag and you needed Jesus because you couldn't be righteous yourself and you needed Jesus, something went down to the root of you and began to change what you believe. And your belief system begins to change how you behave. So we in the apostolic, we have to be more, watch this. We can't be concerned with behaviors. We have to be more concerned with belief systems. This person behaving this way, what they're believing. And we have to work on what they're believing. So I want to share those eight things with you. I don't know if Apostle is going to get a chance to go over them with you in his class, but those are very important because now, by me knowing these things, when I'm sitting and listening to Apostle on Sunday morning, I watch this. I know he's trying to get me to see the call in God, the call and purpose of God for my life, and not just trying to get me to take care of my needs. See, I know he's trying to get to my belief system rather than trying to change my behavior. Are you seeing it? So when I'm listening, I'm not listening with a self-centric motive. I'm listening with a God-centric motive. Meaning, when he's talking to me, when she's talking to me, I'm looking for what God is saying to me about him and giving me instructions to do for him. Because watch this now. Hebrews 10:36. I have need of patience that after I've done the will of God, I might receive the promises. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness simply means his right way to do things. Not your right way, his right way. And all these what? Things. So it is utmost importance, listen to me, it's utmost importance that I find out what God wants with me. Because if I find out what God wants with me and I accomplish it, now God is now obligated because of what he said. All I got to do is be patient. I sought him first and his right way of doing it. So now God is now out. And think about it. God loves it to be obligated because he loves you. He wants to, he, matter of fact, before he even told you your purpose and your calling, he wanted to do it for you anyway. How I know? We got proof. That's all Genesis 1. He gave Adam and Eve everything before he told them what he wanted. And God said, oh, I see that don't work. God gave them, Genesis 1, 29. Read, you ain't got to go to it, but just he said he gave dominion to them. Or the fish that he followed out, he gave him dominion. God didn't tell Adam his assignment until the second chapter. He said, be in the garden, I want you to dress it and keep it. Now, God had already given him everything. So watch this. God has already prepared for you to have everything that you desire, but you can't get it until you stop focusing on you. Is that making sense? So when I'm sitting there listening to the word now, when I'm listening to my pastor, I'm not looking for how my needs can be met. I'm not listening for how my situation can change. Because watch this. Once again, the apostolic is not concerned about your feelings, not concerned about your situations. Ain't an apostle giving you sympathy ain't changing nothing. Just imagine if Elijah would have had sympathy on that woman with her son. When she said, we ain't got nothing but a barrel full of meal. I'm going to bake that and then me and my son going to eat him a dressing and we going to die. What if he'd had sympathy for her and say, oh, okay, then you ain't got enough to make me no cake. Okay, you don't have to make me one then. No problem. You don't have to make me one. I understand. It should last. I understand. It should last. So you go ahead and eat your last. Elijah was not concerned about that at all. Elijah knew what God had told him to do, and Elijah knew what God wanted to do for her. So he made a... Here's a side journey. These preachers are wearing that text out. Wearing that text out trying to get money. Wearing it out. Wearing it out. And not even really understanding the text. Because the Bible, watch this. The Bible told Elijah, go to Zarephath because I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So when he went to Zarephath, that woman was already knew that he was on the way. Watch this. Even to the fact that when she saw him, she had to recognize him. Because you ain't going to give your last to nobody or no prophet unless you know they have fruit in their ministry. So watch this. Preachers can use that scripture all day long to try to get money out of people's pockets. But if they ain't got no fruit in their ministry, they ain't got no business using that scripture. Is that making sense? Elijah did not have any sympathy or didn't have any empathy for her. He wasn't concerned about that. He was only concerned about heaven to earth government structure, putting her, watch this, lining her up in a position, structuring her and getting her in a position to where the portals of the supernatural can be opened. Now, which would you rather? Would you rather the sympathy and the empathy and nothing don't happen? And now you feel good? You got to put a band-aid over your situation? You done ate for that one night? Or would you rather for the apostle, the apostolic government, to position you to be in the right place when that portal opens to the supernatural and God manifests himself in the natural? Go over to chapter 13. And now we're in our book, Alliance of Honorable Men, because I can start there now. Because talking about alliance of honorable men in the nation, or let me say this, alliance of honorable men in the house. There's some principles in here that we have to understand so that we can become the honorable men and women in the house. You know, so we can become those honorable men and women in the house. Those that are do honor because we first sow honor. See, here's the thing. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, you have to turn there, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever. So here it is, if I sow honor, I'm due honor. And here's the wonderful thing. When I sow honor, watch this now, inside information. When I sow honor, or I'm honorable to God's apostolic government, the person, or let me say it like this, the deity now responsible for showing me honor is God himself. See, it's not no longer whatever man saw. Matter of fact, God is not mocked. In other words, he ain't changing. For whatever man saw, that should he also reap. So honoring the apostolic government puts you in a position that God has to honor you. Principle number one, you have to be a person who chooses covenant. You have to choose covenant. You can't be forced into covenant. You can't be made to go into covenant. But you have to choose covenant. The greatest characteristic in the apostolic is willingness. The greatest characteristic in the apostolic is willingness. Not being forced to do something. Not have to be made to do something. But I choose to do this. Isaiah 1 and 19. It says, if ye be what? Notice what, that's chronological. Internet, that's chronological. Willing. And you know what willing, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know what willing does? Willing gets you to the inside of the matter. So that when you're obedient, you know why you're being obedient. I got kids. For us who have kids, we've all experienced this, that our kids, and even I've done this. you're told to do something, you don't want to do it, but you just do it anyway. You ain't learned, Wayne. You know good way you ain't learned nothing that time when you did that. Even when you was a kid, you did something, but you didn't want to do it. You ain't learned nothing. You ain't learned a lesson. You ain't understand what was trying to be taught. You understand what was going on. You just did it because I don't want to hear my mama mouth. So there was no willingness. So watch this. Where there's no willingness and you're obedient, there can be no reward. Obedience without willingness gonna block the reward, because the willingness is preparing your character to receive the reward. Because you understand why I'm doing this. So that's why if you're willing and obedient, you need to go to the land. It didn't say if you're obedient, you need to go to the land. If you're willing and obedient. Prime example, Samuel told Saul, it's better to, what is it? What he said, it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. What Saul went in there and did what he wanted to do. He was going to kill everything. But he came in and claimed, oh, I was just going to say the good stuff because I wanted to sacrifice to God. But he didn't understand what God was trying to do. God was trying to reestablish something, and so he wanted to eradicate every bad seed that could have been left behind to bring up some other type of root. So God wanted to kill everything and get it out the way so that when he does become king over this area, he ain't got nobody got to worry about, because now he'd be able to hear from Saul and theocracy is still in place. But Saul didn't understand that. He wasn't willing. So therefore, it began the demise of his rule, of his reign. He didn't allow the willingness to prepare him, his character, for the reward. Is this making sense? The greatest characteristic in apostolic is willingness. So you have to choose covenant. This can't be something that's forced on you. It can't be something that becomes a burden. Like we know burden. It has to be that Matthew 11:28 burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Now watch this now. Here's where people get tripped up. I didn't say you always feel like doing it. I didn't say you always feel like doing it. That ain't what I said. I said you have to be willing. I didn't say you always felt like doing it, but you have to be willing. So now, if you feel like you don't want to do it, pause. Get yourself together, then go and do. How you can do that? See, feelings, I say this all the time. Feelings are nothing more than indicators. They just let you know what you've been thinking. So when you get instructions from the apostolic and you don't want to do them or you don't feel like doing them, that just means you have erroneous thinking. So you have to go back and rearrange your thoughts and become willing. Then you're obedient. And that's when you receive the good of the land. See, people want to, they give a lot of credit to obedience. God really don't have to use you. God got other people he can use. Oh, did you think for 1 minute that Dr. Thompson was the first person that God called to this area? He wasn't. But he was the first one that was willing. He was the first one that he said, God, I thought you really was going to use me. God said, yeah, I'm going to do it here in Darrow. God said, okay, I'm willing to stay here with these 35 members. Half of them children. He was willing and he didn't complain. And say, God, come on, man. Ain't nothing happening out here. I'm out here in Darrow. I'm in these sticks. Ain't nothing happening. No, he was willing and obedient. Now watch this. Willingness comes from your relationship with the Father. See, if you're not spending time with the Father, then it's going to be hard to be willing. And then it's going to be hard to make adjustments when stuff ain't going your way. That's why this covenant has to be a thing of choice. In 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, they said they made David a captain over them. They was in debt, distress, and discontentment. They made David a captain over them. What they did, they made a choice. They made a choice. They say, we got Saul after us, we can either scatter now and save our own skins, or we can recognize the apostolic on David's life and we can join him and then we can help him accomplish what God wants to use him to do. They were willing. And you see, out of that willingness, they were the guys that came and built the temple with David. They're the ones that were giving, I think it was in First Chronicles. They were the ones that were giving away all that money to help build a temple. David and those guys that was with him. Because they were willing. So you have to choose covenant. It can't be forced on you. It can't be something that you've been bamboozled to do. It can't be something that you're tricked to do. You have to choose this. Which means you have to have careful thought. That's why you can't just haphazardly jump into covenant. You have to put some thought into this. You have to make sure this is what you won't do. Because when you come in covenant, what you're saying is, I'm in it for the long haul. What you're saying is, I'm willing to sacrifice myself. What time is it? I got time? I see, brother. 7:35? All right, I'm closing right now. We'll finish this. We'll finish this next week, all right? We'll finish next week. Remember now, you have to be willing. Willingness stems from your relationship and your fellowship with the Father. If you don't have the relationship and you don't have the fellowship, then when the Father comes in and talks to his delegated authority about making changes, you're not going to be able to make the shift. See, because remember now, when you go into covenant, you're saying, God, this is where you connected me to. So now if you're saying, God, this is where you connected me to, and then all of a sudden leadership say, oh, we're going this direction, and you didn't want to go this direction, you thought you were going this direction. If you don't have a relationship with the Father and have fellowship with the Father, then you're going to be upset that they made a turn that you didn't want to make. And so therefore you won't be willing. So now you go a whole season of being obedient but not willing. Everybody around you getting blessed and you get nothing. We'll finish that next week. Thank you all for your attention. Yes, ma'am.